welcome to Show Me Mike, the podcast that talks to other podcasters about podcasting, and you can find it online at goodstuff.fm/SMYM or on Twitter at SMYM_FM. I'm your host, Chris Enns, iChris on Twitter, and for this episode, I've got actually Kyle Roderick. But before I get to that, I want to thank the folks for the great feedback from last episode's sort of solo show. I was a bit nervous putting it out when it was just me rambling, but lots of positive feedback and just kind of helped me put my ego back together again, like a straw man. Anyways, Kyle Roderick joins me on this episode just to talk about what's going on with Good Stuff and how he puts together transmission as well. There's a bit of tips and tricks for podcasters as well, but lots of network therapy, let's call it. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, 38 minutes now with traffic. So,
And you drive.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. 52 minutes.
Oh. Late breaking news from the traffic copter over
I-55. Let's get to Kyle with the traffic. Let's do traffic in every city. What city? Bang Q for your city right now, and we'll find the traffic for you.
Let's get to show me your transmission.
So what are we talking about? What are we thinking about?
Well, as you may know, I do this podcast about podcasting. And
Sure.
And I also am a co-founder or something of a podcast network.
And, never heard of it.
And I didn't say the name, so I don't know. That's maybe why you... Oh.
It doesn't matter what you say. I've just never heard of it.
I have this one person who's helping me with it and building it and
supposedly.
He's just a pain in the butt. So I'm just calling into this therapy line, Podcasters Anonymous, hoping to get some help with how to deal with messy co-founders. There's more to the story, but there isn't actually. I'm not alluding to anyone in the past. I don't have any alcohol in my coffee, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's like one of those late night call-in lines where it's like, tell me about all your problems. And it's, you know, just kids calling in with weird, you know, things that I don't know what this is. Yeah.
No. Okay. So we'll stop being facetious, or I'll stop. I'll try anyways. I'm recording this earlier than I usually do. So that's probably why I'm a little loopy. And, but this is Kyle's normal time when he records Transmission, a show here on the goodstuff.fm network. And we're alluding to the events that have transpired. I'm doing a terrible job of trying not to actually making it sound like there's more drama than there is. Right. Tim Smith, our co-founder, recently stepped down, which I alluded to in the last episode. And so Kyle and I are left manning the sinking ship, as it were. Man, I'm awful. And so I thought I'd have Kyle on, not just because I didn't have a guest this week. And that's one of the advantages I was going to say, the advantages of having a podcast network. If you're doing a podcast where you need guests, is a podcast network, you kind of have this built-in, like, hey, we're all in this together, right? And I forgot to book a guest, so you should probably come and appear, because otherwise you don't like our podcast network.
And I basically can't say no, because we didn't have an episode slated for today. And I was like, well, Chris, this is the only time I can do it. And you said, yes, 100%. I'm on board.
Sign me up. You're on. Yep. So I thought in lieu of last episode, I got some good feedback from a few folks on just, it was a bit about like running a podcast network, but also mainly about hosting and storage and stuff. And I don't want to go all startup podcasty on you guys here, you guys and gals who listen, because that's a show that's really well done. This is a show that's less well done. And so we're not necessarily going to reveal all the details of every single aspect of running a podcast network, because we might, I guess, but I don't know. We'll see. But it's something that often comes up, I know, for folks where they're like, oh, I should start a podcast network. That'd be awesome, because I have more than one show and it's a pain in the butt setting up 16 instances of WordPress or whatever CMS you're going to use. And then we'll all be friends and we'll podcast together. And that is kind of the case, I think, Kyle, right? That's like, feel free to jump in. And this is less of an interview, show more of a discussion. So just feel free to jump in.
Right.
But that's kind of the case, right? Like there's fun.
I mean, I think for both of us, for you and I, and I think for both of our partners that we also started this with, podcasting sort of started as this fun thing. It's a thing that we did not expect to make money. It was a thing that we started doing because we liked listening to other podcasts. We don't have a background. At least I don't have a background in radio. No, I don't think you do. I think Tim had some semblance of a background in radio, which I think helped him kind of get into that groove and want to do that on his own. But I think we did come into this just thinking like, hey, this is something we are doing because it's fun. And there are people in the space who are incredibly friendly and sharing knowledge about this because it is a very self-starter kind of hobby, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what makes it feel really approachable. And that's what makes us feel like the teeter, I guess. Well, what would that be? Like your
teeter?
I'm literally swaying back and forth in my exercise ball right now. It's like you're tipping over. It's the tipping point between making it fun and then deciding, okay, I'm spending a lot of my time on this. I either need to start making money and pulling my own weight, or my significant other is going to leave me and I'm going to be living out of my car. Like there's that tipping point.
Yeah.
And so part of it is that, and if we're supplementing every now and then with a little bit of something that can keep the fire going, not just kind of with the inspiration, but also with the funds and the bandwidth and the equipment buying and all that kind of stuff, it does really help. So
yeah,
you're like straddling the line in between business and pleasure. All it's almost like a mullet. There's but a podcasting, you know?
Right. A mullet. Yeah, business in the back. No, which is it? Business in the back? No.
But anyway. Party in the back, business back. In the front. Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. Either way, it's like podcasting in a hairstyle, if we could, you know? You have to have both or else it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And that is a lot of the, in full disclosure, some of the stresses we've had over the last year and a bit since starting Good Stuff. And it's like, in as much as I tend to view it as like Tim and Adam, who came before us, may the rest in peace, podcasting peace. No, they're still alive. They're still doing well. But, you know, in some ways, I'm like, I know people could view it as like they got out and they're disgruntled and didn't like what we were doing or whatever. And there may be aspects of that, but I also sometimes view it as like they were the smart ones who got out and didn't hang on to this thing for longer than they should have or whatever. And they both are going to do awesome and have awesome things planned and all that kind of stuff and do. But there is like that aspect of when you bring four people now total, but with slightly different visions of what it could be, and especially when you're doing mm-hmm. things over the internet where you can't, as like we do Hangouts weekly and things like that where we chat and we have Slack going and all that kind of stuff, and you're in constant conversation with these folks, with everybody, but it still is hard to get the nuance. Even you and I, since Tim stepped down, you know, just two people going back and forth, I'm sending you like these neurotic, no, but Kyle, are you sure you right. actually want to keep going? Because I just like, I need someone to hold my hand and tell me it's going to be okay.
Right. Right.
And yeah. I think that's the, like, it's just hard to do. And where I know with people locally here who I've done stuff with occasionally, I can go for coffee with them and like look them in the eye and see the fear or the courage in their eyes as they
right.
make plans. Right. And so. Yeah.
In some ways you kind of want that to be a mirror as well, where you're looking to that person and I'm voicing some of your concerns that maybe you haven't vocalized. So you know, I'm saying like, hey, I'm concerned about this thing and this cost thing, and you know, our listener numbers may be going up on this show but down on this show. So if I am like vocalizing these things that you have internalized, it does kind of help that camaraderie and like, oh, hey, we are on the same page. We do have this understanding that we're kind of chasing the same thing and we have the same fears and that kind of stuff. And I think that helps to build trust between us, which is weird to think like we fear the same things. So we kind of trust each other. But I think it gets all back to like expectations. And you said, you know, maybe we all four of us had different kinds of thoughts in our minds as to what a podcast network needs to be or what we wanted to do with the space or, you know, what we wanted our particular shows to be. But having a line of communication that kind of puts us all on the same level playing field and make sure that we are communicating our expectations for what we want this to be. And I think so far, this whole journey for us right now, I think you and I are pretty aligned in terms of what we expect from the good stuff in general and what we expect to happen kind of, I think maybe 6 months, 8 months in the future, and not really exploring too much into like, hey, let's change a whole lot and let's try and be super edgy with it, but kind of keeping to our roots with the enjoyment part of this and I don't know, making it more fun than it may have been in the past, I think. And I know maybe right now I'm probably feeling a little burnt out with transmission a little bit, just because we moved to the daily format and it's like, you know, I've seen the numbers kind of slowly slope downwards after our gigantic spike in September. And so part of me is like, man, this podcasting thing is hard. Yeah. And the business side of it is just that extra, that's the sprinkles on top of the donut that just makes it that much harder, you know?
Not a sugary, nice donut. It's
it's kind of old fashioned, and it's like you cobbled together these weird flavors. Yeah, really dry. Like you left it out on the counter for a couple of days. It's still good. I mean, it's still great, but it's just not, it's not what you expected it to be. And it just, yeah, getting back to expectations, that's where we try to align the best and really kind of try and go the same direction. Yeah. We're both going opposite directions. That's counterproductive for both of us and especially for the network.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the expectation, like you alluded to, like your show, first of all, transmission, you're doing nearly daily, like, or is it actually, you're going to do Monday to Friday now?
We have been doing Monday to Friday for the past 2 weeks, I guess. Today was the first day where we didn't have a show, right. But I'm actually thinking about cross-posting this maybe, and there's Max in the background.
You need a few more sound effects to add to that.
I know.
So it's a more of a transmission show.
But, yeah, I didn't promise I didn't launch any of my sound bites.
It is a tough thing where as a podcast network or as a show, you do something to try and like, okay, this is the thing I'm going to do. In your case, going daily, right? It was like, okay, we'll do this and then that'll result in this, and which obviously is hopefully going to be positive. And it wasn't like super negative, but it also wasn't amazingly doubling your downloads or something, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And so then that's when it's your side business, side project, whatever thing, that's where it gets tough. And you're like, oh, this is, I could just stop doing this stupid thing because nobody's paying attention to my stupid thing. And I could just go to my stupid job and make my stupid money.
Just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper. But at the same time too, it gives you the room to change up what you're doing and what you think doesn't work all that easier, because at some point, people just won't have expectations for what you're doing. And I think they, especially in podcasting, people have come to kind of expect things to either trail off and die a terrible death, or, you know, change periodically and be revitalized or revamped, or, you know, a different. We've done this with transmission multiple times where we'll just say, hey, this segment is not working. Let's not do that. Or the way that we have the transition between segment one, segment two, part A, part B, whatever, is working sort of, but we want to tweak it in this way. And so we'll make slight changes throughout the life of this thing that we think will improve it. But, you know, what are the KPIs, you know, what's the ROI on this? Chris, it's hard to right. what are anyway? So I don't know. I don't know how to measure that kind of thing other than with my personal enjoyment, you know?
Right, and because in podcasting it's so hard to. There's no way for you to know right away. Like you made this change even to daily, and like the numbers went down, but maybe it was just because some random podcast player out there that like 500 listeners were downloading from screwed up and lost your feet, right? Like there's so many variables going on that we don't even know about necessarily. And one of the, in the positive direction, I think we've talked about in the past on some show somewhere at some point, but like our show getting, one of our shows getting added to a podcast player's featured section all of a sudden results in a bump. And like, and there's no way to plan for that. Or like, and also the alternative of it, like if you think that's somehow due to your amazingness that of your show production that, you know, all of a sudden you have all these listeners because it was featured. Well, maybe it was just because you had great artwork. But if you have crappy artwork, but people really love your show, well, that doesn't mean your artwork is responsible for your show or whatever. And like your show's success. I think of even someone like in the traditional media of TV, like that David Letterman is retiring this year. I was going to say Johnny Carson. John Stewart is stepping down. And like these guys who've done this these shows for years, Dave Letterman is, I think, 30 years on The Late Show or something like that.
Probably, yeah, at least.
And they've changed formats. They've changed networks. They've changed things they do. They've changed their physical appearance of the desks and the studio space, you know, and adapted and stuff. And I think that's safe to do in podcasting certainly as well. And for folks who haven't listened to Transmission, if you're one of the listeners of Show Me Your Mic and you haven't checked out Transmission, maybe you're, if the reason that you might not is like a daily show feels overwhelming as far as number of downloads or something every day. I think we give you the freedom to skip a couple if you're behind, but also, but make sure you download them because that's the important part. No, but it's worth checking out just for the production of what the production value of what Kyle and Kenny, his brother, put into the show day in and day out, and remembering that it is a daily show, not a, you know, once a week show that you can have time to prep for. Sort of a, on a scale of like a, what's the Daily Tech News show Tom Merritt does, and what's
yeah, just with, Frog Pants with guys. far less interesting commentary.
Well,
I think
commentary on different things than you hear from, like, I feel like you hear the same thing from Twit and Tom Merritt, and nothing against those folks, like they're obviously far be it from us, we're in our position to say they're doing it wrong.
But, oh no, absolutely.
But just, you know, a different voice in the in that space. If you're looking for like a bit of tech, a little science, whatever, go check it out. But I'm not so worried about the content, but just the idea of how you guys are putting the show together and the segments, yeah. and which I don't hear a lot of in podcasting circles, I guess, is that sort of like, it's not that you're spending hours and hours and hours producing it, but and prepping, but you are doing some, right?
Yeah, a pretty significant amount of prep. Per show, I think we do the bare minimum of prep. But the idea with the show is that the episodes are very dispensable. When yesterday is done, there's nothing relevant about it. When we put a new one out, that's the one we want you to listen to. Right. So we've even built the new Transmission AM website. We've built it around basically burying all of the back catalog and only showing you the current episode because that is the single most relevant one. So really, I mean, missing a show on a Tuesday and you only pick it up on a Thursday, our expectation is that you delete all of the others and you only listen to the Thursday episode because that's the most relevant one. And that's, I think that does help us really just kind of push it forward and keep moving and change what we need to change because it does kind of blur the lines between podcast and radio show. We do it live every single time. And I'm trying to bring some of that not necessarily morning zoo vibe to it, but it's just whatever we want to do that day. Kenny and I try and have fun when we do it. It's very much I've been told this by our close family that it's exactly like we are in person, like in the same room. We have that same sort of vibe between us. We play off each other in the very same way that we do on the show. So yeah. I think that it comes out sounding exactly how we want it to a lot of times. But the format itself, as you alluded to, it helps us stick to the segments and it helps us stick to a formula that makes it so that we can kind of be flexible with the content of it. So we can talk about robots one day, we can talk about pizza the other day and you know, terrible fast food. In the intro, I could talk about my shoes causing me to shock myself on my car, like all sorts of stuff that is just everyday life, I guess, almost like a journal, but based around this skeleton that is the format. And it it makes it so that we can just really talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah, it's like you have the sort of hooks to hang different segments in, or right. shelves, or whatever analogy works for you. It's too early in the morning for me to come up with good analogies. What I like, though, is that also the repeating segments bring familiarity, obviously, for folks who like the show, and also repeating gags. And to a point where I know when you've reworked the show, you've killed, say, a bunch of your soundboard effects that you're using. And the soundboard effects are traditionally like, not like Morning Zoo stuff as much as like just reusing old funny bits from something Kenny or you said.
From the episode itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that I love that. What I love about that is that it rewards the listener for actually paying attention. Because if you start using something and I missed an episode where that was like the funny thing originally, you do feel a little bit of like missing out, kind of like missing a whatever, an episode of a TV show or whatever, that you missed the gag and now it's part of the show's storyline or whatever, and that kind of thing. And so
yeah, part of that too though is like when you reach the tipping point, there we go, I've got it, and when you reach the tipping point of not knowing, you know, a good number of them, your finger reaches for the unsubscribe a little faster than it would normally. Right. You feel like, oh man, I have no idea what they're doing. I mean, it was exactly this way for me when I started listening to shows like Roderick on the Line or Back to Work. I had no idea what was going on. It was enjoyable, still very enjoyable. But part of me was like, how much can I endure this? And so it's like, do I stick it out and do the gags that come in the episodes I do listen to get reincorporated, or are they just referencing things that I will have no idea about ever?
Yeah.
Because I just didn't hear the previous episodes, and I'm not willing to listen to 200 or for in our case, well, what are we at now? 160.
Yeah.
So if we, you know, it's like I said before, it's not our expectation that they would listen to 160 episodes. It's, oh man, especially our first episodes, just do not listen to those. But it's our idea, I guess, is to reward the listener for tuning in frequently and finding gags funny. I mean, I have no idea if people find the stuff that we find funny, but I figure if it should be a little contagious hearing somebody laugh and enjoy themselves over something that is just completely ridiculous. So that's kind of my goal.
Yeah, and I often find myself laughing aloud at or giggling or whatever along to something, like even just Kenny's response to something you've said, his which like you alluded to earlier of his, you know, just being familiar, being brothers, obviously, that familiarity that you have with each other, that his reaction is just such a honest reaction. That's not a, you know, it's not right. Like a podcast show host, whatever, kind of faked or bit, you know, it's just like this honest guttural reaction to something you've described or said or whatever. That is really awesome. Something I know for folks who are along this line, but also an idea for you too, is something I know when you mentioned Roderick on the Line, Merlin does a good job of is, because there is such a huge back catalog of episodes, is periodically he'll put out a like, here's the five episodes you should listen to of Roderick on the Line to like get you caught up. And that's the style of their show is such that it's like a topical discussion or whatever. And so it does kind of lend itself to that. Whereas yours is generally like you said, it's relevant that day or that week and less so interesting later maybe. But for folks who are looking into this kind of discussionist show or whatever, where you do have a big catalog, highlighting episodes that are worth going back to, whether for monetary gain, because you need people to listen for whatever affiliate stuff or whatever, the sort of businessy side, but also just like building your audience's familiarity with the shtick that you do.
Yeah. And another show that does it really well is We Have Concerns with Anthony Carboni and Jeff Cannata. They have sort of like here's the starter pack for getting going on either the big jokes that recur or just, you know, if you want an introduction to the format of this show, then these are the ones to listen to. And they've got a couple of choices there, but those are two podcasts that I definitely listen to as well. And you're right, they do a good job of keeping people up to date with, you know, the best ones that can get people started.
That's funny that you mentioned We Have Concerns, because Jeff Cannata is a guy I have followed from like back like Totally Rad Show days. He did a video sort of show with a few other guys. And I've always been a fan of his work and stuff, but I haven't actually ever listened to that podcast for some reason. I don't know why. I'll have to check it out.
They cover a lot of the same stories that we do on Transmission, just in like 25 minute segments, only on one story. And it is enjoyable, thoroughly enjoyable. I love that show. I'll actually send you the link to the, what they call the new listeners guide right now.
For sure. Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes, which folks can find at goodstuff.fm/smym/84. Well, I think I know we both have we call it a hard out, which is a gag that goes, I don't know where that goes back to. That might even be a,
I feel like the first time I heard that, yeah, it was probably Back to Work. Yeah. I mean, huge fan of that show. So I feel like a lot of my vocal tics and a lot of the things I say in day to day life get back to that show. Like that, feel like I am a real life walking meat bag facsimile of that show. Right. I wish. that's my goal in life, at least.
Which is funny because that whole like for fans of, that's a show that's on 5x5, obviously, air quotes, competing network. You know, it's a bit of like in the traditional media, like an NBC show making jokes about something they saw on a CBS show or whatever, and right, laughing about that, and which is kind of odd, but it works in the podcasting space to a point, because you, I don't know, I feel like sometimes maybe because I'm a bit Canadian, a bit Canadian. There you go. There's a good show title, but also overly concerned with what other people are thinking of what's happening right now. And so I feel like maybe sometimes it gets a little bit over the top where we're like referencing things there's no way they've had the time to even listen to, because they could care less about 5x5 or whoever the thing is. And also that thing of like, when do we, this is what I love about Transmission, is like, when do we start making our own things and not just riffing on what other folks have done or whatever too. And sort of like, assuming you have kept up with the podcast news of the day, podcasting world news of the day, a little bit too meta sometimes, but that's what the show is.
I think too, we want to cater to what we think our listeners are doing as well. I know a good portion of the people who listen live are definitely fans of 5x5. They're fans of Relay. They're fans of Frog Pants. They listen to
all the great podcast networks.
The full, exactly. Okay, exactly. That's 100% what I was getting to. But it's all contained in this bubble. And a lot of times with Transmission, I'm thinking, okay, would it benefit me to just shut Twitter off completely? Shut, you know, remove Overcast from my phone so that anything that's created is not necessarily influenced by these other things. But I feel like there's a string of connective tissue between all of the tech podcasts that either have, and I don't know, maybe the connective tissue is just that we're more male and white, but like they have that like same voice to things. I want to make sure, especially like audio production wise, the quality is on point with everyone else.
Yeah.
But I feel like I do a disservice to the listeners if I don't, you know, I don't know the jokes. Oh, you know, all the great shows. Well, I heard it on a podcast in this other podcast that referenced this other podcast, but I don't know the origin of that. It's like Tumblr for podcasts. You don't know where the origin of the joke is. Yeah. You know, you can't trace it all the way back to its source.
Exactly. We need like footnotes for podcasts. So like at the whatever that was, the 30-minute mark. That's a reference to Roderick on the Line, I think. I think it
episode
is.
Episode number, 138.
Totally, yeah. Okay, in 2 minutes or less, show me your mic.
Rapid fire.
I think we've done, I've had you on in the past. I'll find the episode links and stuff, put them in the show notes. People can listen to those if they want the back catalog of Kyle Roderick's Show Me Your Mic appearances. But the one thing I want to touch on is the production of Transmission. You're using software called QLab still, right? or not?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we use QLab to kind of stick to the template. It's made specifically for onstage live productions. So they have things called cues. You hit the cues and it'll play music tracks. So we use it to add what are called bumpers in between the segments. We have music beds that play beneath a lot of our segments. And all of that is built into a pre-produced template that basically I'm just saying, go, play the next thing, play the next thing, play the next thing. And that's, to tell you the truth, that's what helps us stick to that formula a lot. When it breaks, it's sort of another one of those kind of funny humanist moments where it's like, oh, haha, he messed up. I can relate to that. And we leave that in a lot of times. So it's, yeah, it does. Yeah. QLab helps us really stick to that format. And it's, oh man, it's a lifesaver. It's fantastic. I love that software.
And because it's sort of traditionally, like you said, it's sort of theater live performance. I know churches would use it and things like that, where they have video and audio thing that's going on, and they need to have obviously cues tuned up.
Exactly.
But it works well as far as a podcasting option. I think it's $200 for the basic version. But didn't you say like there's a trial or something that you?
It's free. So we utilize the free version right now. There are some really heavy audio production features that you get when you do the pro version or the paid version. Things like one called devamping, which basically lets you repeat a particular section at a specific rhythm. So it's made more for, I don't know, music-based production stuff.
Right.
But for us, it works out of the box for free the way it is right now. And it is the cornerstone, the whatever for transmission. Foundation. It's the thing that keeps, it's the whole building basically for transmission. It's everything.
So when someone's listening to transmission, for example, you said music beds, a common sort of thought I've had, and I'm sure other podcasters have had that, is like, it'd be great right now while you and I are talking to just have some music playing, but we don't know how long we're going to talk for. But I just want it to just keep going until I tell it to stop or fade out or move to the next section.
Exactly.
Is that's something that QLab does, where you could just say this wave file or this looping audio that I got from somewhere on the web, or I made myself in GarageBand, just loop this forever until I tell you to stop? Is that
precisely?
And then,
yep, that's exactly what it does. Yeah. So we just say we want it to be this loud. We want it to loop infinitely, and it continues until I press the button that says it to stop.
Right. And is there an intro segment of it? You know, like somehow, like sometimes loops are like they start, and then 2 seconds in is where you actually want it to start looping from, or is it kind of just?
So that would be devamping. Exactly.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And then also the other thing that people hear when they listen to the transmission. their transmission.
We'll just change the name. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, change it for me, please. It's my network. And yours. What was I going to say? Sound effects and clips that you from previous shows. That's not in QLab, is it? You're using sound, whatchamacallit, for it?
We're using QCart, which is actually by Figure 53, the same company that makes QLab.
Gotcha.
But QCart lets us map the cue or the different sound effects to MIDI. So I've got a 64 pad Novation Launchpad Mini here that I have connected to my computer. It basically, for every little pad that's on here, it will play a MIDI note, and then I map the MIDI note to a sound effect. So some of them are labeled, some of them are not. I was actually working on something this morning to kind of help me out there, because with 64 sounds, I lose it. And part of the shtick too on transmission is like, oh, I need to look for the sound because I don't know where it is. And you know, it can only go so far. And right now, I think we're at the end of that. It's no longer funny.
To
continue. Yeah. Kenny was calling me out on it yesterday. He was like, man, you do this weird thing where you clear your throat before you look for a sound effect. And it's like, there are so many like funky vocal tics that we have on that show that it's only funny to a point.
Well, that's like, actually gives me a great idea, because I have this old, it is old. It's 10 years old. Probably. We have MIDI keyboard that I used to use because I play music, and I bought this keyboard that was like going to be this thing that I was going to use for making music, but it's just been sitting collecting dust as we move from house to house. I'll have to try that out with that. Very cool.
Keyboard Maestro, if you don't want to download like specific sound cue, whatever software. If you use Keyboard Maestro, you can say, I want to play this MIDI note, and then you capture the MIDI note with your device, and you say, play this WAV file or this MP3 file, and you just link to it directly from, say, like a Dropbox. And that would work exactly the same way.
Nice.
Yeah, sort of like a weird keyboard-based sound thing.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's any chance I get, and maybe other listeners out there have this same thing where they've got gear that they haven't used for a while and don't have to buy something new in order to.
Oh, absolutely!
Do it is awesome.
Repurposing stuff for this show. I mean, we've been doing it for more than a year now, and for the most part, I feel like we've got the same stuff we started with. I've got a weird, like, we've got this thing where we've got a train whistle. So I have a wooden train whistle here. It's sort of our equivalent to a Merlin's bell. Yeah,
you can blow the whistle.
Mute switch. I won't blow the whistle. It's okay. Okay,
maybe I would. Yeah, blow it. There you go.
Got it.
The mic picks it up really well because I thought it was like a sound effect. Everything.
Yeah.
okay, we have a hard out, as we said, so we'll stop talking soon. The show itself, goodstuff.fm/transmission. Where else can folks find you on the internet?
At Kyle Roderick on Twitter, but I just need you and your corporeal being to download the show. That's all I need.
Yeah. Don't even have to listen. Just download it. And as far as
to like me, just download it.
Yeah. hate download, hate listen.
Yeah. yes, exactly.
And good stuff. Like we said, we're in the process. Kyle and I are in the process of reworking, revamping, redesigning, what other rewords are there?
Re-architecting.
Really. There
so
we
it's,
go.
It's the whole gamut.
Yeah. So everything's up in the air. By next week, you might not even have a show anymore because it's just going to be that crazy. No. Yep. We'll still be around. But changes are coming, but nothing that we're ready to announce yet. And nothing crazy, obviously, or life-changing, but just fun stuff to make it fun for us to do and work on. And hopefully that translates into stuff that's going to be fun for you to listen to and want to tune in for and hang out with us. And I think that's it for this episode. So tune in tomorrow for transmission, and we'll see you next time on Show Me Your Mic. I have a whole spiel, but I have to get going because my kids are screaming upstairs. That's part of life. So yep. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great day. Bye.